If you're not ready for it, you're not ready for it. But like, we're moving into a new earth. We're moving into like this new frequency. And, you know, we can't keep repeating the same things, hoping for different results. We have to try something new, right? And I believe that the path to this new frequency, this path to healing the world, is really combining God and energy together.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Ella Don. She is a personal coach and guide who helps people rewire past beliefs and habits to initiate their supernatural purpose in God. And today she's going to share that and a lot more with us. And Ella, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, me too. When I was looking at you, I'm researching you, I was like, wow, this is going to be fun just because you have so many things to offer and share. And I guess maybe part of it is your the pictures and the energy that comes across just from the pictures is like, it's palpable. So I guess where I usually begin is kind of just tell us a little bit more about yourself and how did you end up in this space?
Yeah, so it's been a long journey. Some people say that I've lived like five lifetimes in one lifetime. Pretty much I was born into a really strict cult, basically. It was a mix of Jewish and Christianity. But even as a young kid, I always had really spiritual gifts. I could see spirits. I could hear spirits. But I always had to keep a lot of it private because if I shared with it, the church what I was experiencing, they would have thought I was crazy. And this wasn't a time when Google was as prevalent as what it was for spirituality today. So when I left when I was 13, I dived into like ancient textbooks and all of like esoteric wisdom and stuff, and just kind of experimented with all sorts of different beliefs and practices. And then finally came back to the church when I was like, I think like 25. I had gone through addiction. I had gone through abusive relationships. I had two kids. I was a single parent. And I wanted my kids to at least know who Jesus was so they could make a choice for themselves. And I had profound, crazy spiritual encounter with Jesus and was like, oh goodness, okay, that was not something I was expecting. I had kind of written him off because of all the religious trauma. And so then I dove into the Bible and started realizing that there is this universal truth that was in the Bible that was in all of these other religious beliefs. So then started incorporating God into my practice. And, you know, here we are today where I do shamanic healing. I have a master level of Reiki. I have crystal healing. I have a whole arsenal of like nervous system regulation techniques. And I just love sharing this with people so that they can start witnessing all of their own perceptions that they have, all of the stories that they've told themselves. So then they can start getting back to their original self and living who they were born to be rather than who these stories have made them to be.
Yeah, I love it. There's a lot in there. We're going to go piece by piece, but yeah. I want to know, you had a profound encounter with Jesus. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so at that point, I was really at the point where I didn't think Jesus was real. I didn't think God was real because if the church had inflicted so much harm, yet they preached love, it was totally it was just contradictory. And so therefore God couldn't possibly be real. But I was at this church service and the pastor had asked, in order for God to forgive you, who do you need to forgive? And so I was, you know, all new age and stuff. And I was like, yeah, forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is good. Like, who do I need to forgive? And all of a sudden I realized I needed to forgive myself for all of the judgments I was holding. It was like, whoa. And I was almost teleported like out of body. I was having this other experience where I saw Jesus like in front of me, and he was holding this lantern, and he showed me all of these instances where I should have died, but he like protected me, like alleyways I walked through that there was someone there who like could have murdered me, like drug overdoses, all these situations that he protected me from. But he said, I haven't fully been able to help you because you haven't asked me for it. And I was just like, what? So I was freaking out because I was like, biggest thing for me, it was like, what? Jesus is real? Like, I've had crazy visions before. I've seen spirits, but like, I haven't seen Jesus. And so I was kind of freaking out in my own head. I was like, nah, I just came up with this. There's no way this happened. Like, my brain just created this illusion. And all of a sudden, this woman came over and tapped me on the shoulder. And she was like, I was sitting across the room and something made me look over at you. And I saw this angel standing over you. And I was like, what?
Wow.
I was like, all right, I guess if God is real, then like, I need to start looking at my Bible. Like, I need to start figuring out again, because I had read the Bible a few times before, but I was like, hey, I need to start figuring out what is actually in this book. How does God align with Reiki? How does God align with New Age practices, with meditation, with Kundalini, with all of this stuff? And yeah, it's crazy.
That's a complex question, right? How does God align with all these things? But do you have some kind of answer that we can share that?
I would say that everything is energy. Like, everything is energy. Everything is frequency, right? God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. Like, the power of his voice created light. It created, you know, this world. And so we need to recognize in all of these things that we are working with energy. But we also need to recognize that there are other spiritual entities out there in this world. There are angels, there's guides, there's other like Pleiadian star peoples and stuff like that. But the fact is, God, it even states in the Bible that God created the Pleiades and he created the Orion. Like, he created all of these things. So rather than going to these intermediaries, why don't we just go to God? If we can release our illusions of separation, if we can release our trauma that, you know, God is this, you know, man in the sky that's evil because of the church, like, why go to the middleman when you go to the source?
Yeah. So separating religion and spirituality, right?
Yeah, like, we need to bridge the two. Like, it's not different. The Bible, like, it talks about crystals. It talks about magic and miracles and healing, like raising people from the dead. Like, if that's not magic, I don't know what is. And we need to stop separating the two, basically.
Yeah, it's gonna be okay. It's a lot, and I love it. Okay, so we learned that from Tesla too, right? Think for to figure out the secrets of the universe, he said, think of energy, frequency, vibration. And so you're saying, God spoke, let there be light, and the vibration of his voice bounces along, let there be light. Michael Singer, I just finished a book a little while ago called The Living Untethered. Not, he has the untethered soul, but Living Untethered, The Human Predicament. And he talks about this where he bridges it all. He does like from the Big Bang Theory, and he goes through the, oh my God, the first part of the Bible where it's just like, on this day he made this, on this, and he goes through it. And it's like, he bridges the science with that, like using the Big Bang Theory, all the stardust, all the stuff, and he brings it into the Bible. And it's just like, whoa.
Creation and evolution don't necessarily have to be separate.
Creation and evolution. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole part about Reiki, shamanic healing, crystals that can kind of all be combined and separated, but tell us all about them.
Yeah. So basically, I don't necessarily just call myself a Reiki master or a shamanic practitioner. Like, I've kind of developed my own signature style under God, where basically we open up your energy field and I'm just like, hey, God, what does this person need? And we go in that way during, you know, whether it's like connecting with your younger child, healing ancestral trauma, connecting with your future self for wisdom, like all of those different things are available, because really you're just tapping into this energetic field around you. And time's not linear.
Tell us more about that.
Time doesn't exist. Everything is like occurring at the same time. Like, I fully believe that there are different dimensions that are occurring of your current reality occurring in different timelines, and that we can shift into those, because it's all just cells. They talk about that with the in like quantum science, like the God particle and all this different stuff. Like time doesn't exist.
And so, this is why you can create your future in advance, right? Because since it doesn't exist, you can pick whatever way you want.
Yeah, exactly. And but all of that, you know, if you can open up, I have a huge disdain for the love and light movement. I guess that would be the biggest thing. And that's one of the things I like to raise awareness to, because in the Bible, it's specific, like Lucifer, who became Satan, was an archangel of light, right? And like, what is our, like, we've all struggled with like narcissistic, crazy relationships, and they all firmly believe that they love you, right? But it's not a healthy love. So if you're walking under just love and light, and you're not being very specific, what love and light are you actually operating under? Like, it's a little bit too vague. Whereas God, honestly, if you can take the church, what the church has created God to look like, if you can take that out of it, he just walked in pure unconditional love. Like, there was a woman and a man who had fornicated, and they came before him, and like the whole town wanted to kill them. And Jesus was like, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And even though Jesus had never sinned, he was still just like, go sin no more. Like, he's the epitome of love. So why can't we tap into God and Jesus Christ more, rather than potentially opening us up to vulnerable, abusive spiritual relationships?
Yeah. I wonder, do you think that the idea of your disdain for love and light is because of the cult-like situation you grew up in?
No, I wouldn't say that, because I operated under love and light for a very long time. Like, before I came to Jesus, that was when I had taken my Reiki master training and all this stuff, and that was what I operated under. I believed it was protection. But it wasn't until I started operating under God and was like, God, I want you to cleanse from myself anything that is not of you, that I recognized how much dark spiritual attachments I had. Simply because I was operating under love and light. Like, it's not a protection like we think it is. If anything, it's an invitation to something darker, to masquerade, right?
Yeah. So, I do something similar in the shower with the water. I'll kind of just like, kind of intend for like, God, just like wash all the crap away and like, let me do what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm. There's so much healing power in water, and water in the ancient traditions, water really represented the emotions. So really tapping into that water frequency can be so powerful. I love doing shower cleanses.
Yeah. You said you tried out, or you started exploring all these different religions, right? And so I kind of done the same thing on my journey, and I realized like, okay. And it starts, I was born Catholic, raised Catholic my whole life. So that's the beginning. And then when I found all these other ones, I'm like, oh, it's not telling me that I'm bad and I did something wrong and I have to be like, the thing with Catholicism is when you're 8 years old, you have to go in front of a priest and tell him sorry for doing bad stuff. Like, you're 8 years old, right? Like, what did you whatever bad you did, you watched an adult and that's what you did. You copied them. Like, you're not bad.
No.
So with that, I just wanted to give that up front, because then I started exploring other religions, and then I realized, you know what? It can't be just one against the other. It's impossible. It doesn't work that way. We're all one human race, but all the other religions are saying very similar things, right? Mm-hmm. There's a notion of suffering. There's a notion of love. There's a notion of something greater. And there's a notion of we're all connected. Like, we're all here together. And so I guess where I'm going is kind of, what are some of the religions that stood out, or some of the notions that stood out from those religions?
Yeah, I'd say you summed it up perfectly. The fact of the illusion, the veil of separation, I'd say is the biggest thing, is that we have, I fully believe that we as human beings come here to have this human experience, to walk through all of those emotions that we can experience as a human and come to that divine totality of like witnessing I am love and my neighbor is love and God is love and everything else is just the illusion, and being able to cut through that illusion as you're going through human experiences is like the whole reason we're here.
All right, so that's amazing. I'm going to come back to this part after, but I kind of want to know more about now your coaching, the Water's Edge, all these beautiful things.
Yeah. So I recently launched a group membership. It's called The Water's Edge, and it is a supernatural sanctuary for spiritual seekers who want to discover their truth on this earth and have tools to help them walk in that truth. So it consists of 3 calls every month. On the first Wednesday of each month, the calls happen. The first one is taking a non-judgmental, non-biased look at the Bible. So we will have some sort of scripture or book or passage or subject that we will look into the Bible at and have an open discussion about it to figure out what is the Bible actually saying, how does it resonate with you, and how does this apply to your practical life? So it's great, especially if you are new to the Bible, or if you're wanting to dive deeper into the Bible and start looking at it beyond just what the church says, to really start doing that in a loving, open space. The second call is a frequency call. That one we dive into some sort of energy healing modality. So like Reiki, shamanic journeys, meditations, all that good, tapping, all those kinds of things to help start shifting your frequency, letting go of those stories that you've told yourself so that you can walk in love. And then the third one is like channeled card readings. So pretty much I'll go on and share some sort of card reading or some sort of like strategy for someone. If you're going through anxiety, how can you regulate your nervous system? Here's some wisdom for you. That's just some practical and spiritual advice for you on that one. So it's an all-encompassing membership, which I'm super excited for. Right now it's only $55 a month, so an incredible value.
Wow, yeah, that is. I'm curious, how does it, so some people are just, like I said earlier, like totally religious, and then other people are energy and they're not, and you're like bridging them together. And so is there like a bit of a pushback, or what does that look like?
There has been some, I won't lie, there has been some. And you know, if you're not ready for it, you're not ready for it. But like, we're moving into a new earth, we're moving into like this new frequency. And you know, we can't keep repeating the same things hoping for different results. We have to try something new, right? And I believe that the path to this new frequency, this path to healing the world, is really combining God and energy together. Like, it's not separate anymore, and we can't be looking at it separate if we really want to achieve all that we can achieve on this earth.
Right. And like I said it earlier, but science is like showing it to us, like, oh, okay. And
exactly.
How did these yogis know that like so long ago, like thousands of years ago, and now science is like, oh, we just found this out yesterday.
Right. I know. I'm taking my yoga teacher training right now. I graduate in April, so I'm excited to really start incorporating all of that. And learning about the philosophies of the yogic traditions, like the Vedic lineage, and how pretty much all of the yoga, like they didn't dissect people like we did to learn things. They just tuned into their energetic body. And yet what they know, or what they knew, is like science is just now catching up. And they learned these things by going and sitting under trees and meditating in the forest.
Yeah.
Like, how crazy is that? But now we can parallel it to Jesus, where when Jesus was overwhelmed, he retreated off to the mountains. Like,
yeah,
all the same thing.
Yeah. And even like the Vedic calendar, the astrology, right? There they can, mm-hmm. some of it's just like, it's like pyramids. Like, how did they do that? Or how did they know that? Right.
Yeah. And pyramids aren't actually tombs. They were like frequency generators. So,
oh, I've seen this, right? Where they conducted inside there. I saw a Russian guy. He built this weird pyramid and it was the same thing. Oh man, do you know who Joe Dispenza is?
Oh, I love Joe Dispenza. I've taken some of his training.
Right. So this guy, Konstantin Karaktov, I forget, but he's the guy who does, he gives them the machines where they measure. And so that's the same why we build those pyramids. But yeah, sound tombs.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right. And so you got a lot. So I think like there's so many things, right? You're saying Reiki, shamanic healing, psychic, now yoga. You're introducing EFT tapping. Like, yeah, you got the whole package. Yeah. So
pretty much, like, you know, if a person wants to work with me one-on-one, we just start with a strategy call, figure out where they're at, where they want to go, and like what modalities would best suit them. And then my coaching involves, you know, an energy healing session plus actual like communication to kind of work through those things. We have to recognize so many people do energy healing sessions and then they just like set their client free and like, you have this whole new frequency. You've completely shifted your aura now. Good luck. But the problem is our brains are creatures of habit. Like we actually wire these neural pathways to form these habits. So even if you shift your frequency, you haven't necessarily shifted the neural pathways. So we need habits and like assistance to create these new habits based on this new frequency. And it's going to be a lot easier. It's going to be like we've now, you know, with the energy healing, we've gone through and we've like, you have this big field of snow. We've taken a shovel and we've made these new pathways. But now you need someone to help you be like, here, no, don't go down that path you used to go down. You're going down this one now, right? And to create those, to have those tools to create these new neural pathways. So it's easier, but it's still a practice. And so I love working with my clients one-on-one after energy healing sessions to assist them in grounding this new frequency into the physical, regulating their nervous system, creating healthy habits, and just, you know, fostering an overall better life. It doesn't just stop at energy.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so the habit there, part of the habit, visualization and meditation are the habits as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, those are habits too. Like our brain doesn't want to sit and meditate. And meditation also isn't even what we often think meditation. Like meditation doesn't just
happen. Ooh, let's hear about that.
Yeah. Meditation doesn't just have to be sitting and telling your brain to shut up. Like we have spent thousands of years developing a brain that can think in so many different ways, right? So why are we now all of a sudden being like, no, you need to stop? Like it's not plausible. It's just going to throw yourself out of regulation and you're going to get frustrated and you're not going to do it and you're going to hate meditation. But what if you looked at meditation as a way to just simply observe your thoughts? So you shift from being in your thoughts to just being like, oh, look, this is the things I'm thinking about. Okay, I'm thinking about things that are negative, that are in the future, that I can't do anything about. So I'm going to come back here in this present moment, what actually matters. So I love providing my clients with strategies of meditation. There's so many different kinds of meditations that you can do. Even just going for a walk and, you know, looking at the trees and be like, wow, look at that tree as if I have never looked at a tree before. Look at that bird. Look at this. And just teaching their body and telling their body it's okay to be in the present moment and to witness what is around them. Like it's something we are so lost from. And it can happen by just going for a walk for like 10 to 15 minutes. So you can train your brain in so many new ways.
Yeah. And then you can get lost and it's like bliss, right? I do it when I'm running. While I'm running, it's like a meditation and you're seeing this stuff, but it's just all of a sudden it's like, oh, the time just gone and like almost like you were separate from your body for a minute. But yeah.
Time travel.
I love this. Yeah. Meditation definitely changed my life. And like there is different ones, right? So people I think like, oh, I can't sit there and be alone. There's other types, right? Like more mindfulness where you can listen to somebody guiding you. You can kind of listen to someone guide you to your different body parts. Like, what do you call it? And just a body scan, right? Or exactly. Like you said, using your senses. That's another mindfulness technique. And I'm mixing the two now, but it's all the same goal, right? Is to get into your nervous system, which you talk about.
Exactly. Tuning into your nervous system, calming the mind so it's not trapped in those other thoughts. you know, like you've said, Joe Dispenza, he likens the mind as like this wild Mustang that you've never ridden before. So you finally start to like, you know, you show up and you're like, hey, I want to ride you and I want to be in control of you. And it's like, well, no, you've been off gallivanting. I've been alone here doing my own thing. And so it's a practice of like, stay, like, you're going to let me do this. Stay, I'm going to be in control here. And it, you know, it's a practice and it takes time and it takes training. So
beautiful. So as we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, but no hard sell, and reach out to Ella. If you'd been listening to this conversation and it resonates, then there's a reason it does. So please reach out to her. And now, maybe a bit of a harder question, which if it's, think about it, like you don't have to just give me an answer right away because it's complex, but the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, like, is that a metaphor for each individual person where we have all three? The physical body is the Son, the mind is the Father, and then the Holy Spirit is the energy.
Based upon my beliefs at this time, my personal opinion is it can be a metaphor, but I believe that there is still an actual spiritual entity outside of us. So the Bible talks about how we are made in God's image, but it doesn't state what God looks like. So we do have divinity. We have the cellular blueprint of God within ourselves. But I do still believe that he is also a separate entity outside of us, but his energy is kind of parallel with these other aspects of Christ and the Holy Spirit and God, three in one. So they are all kind of sharing the same frequency, but they do have, they are separate individuals.
Wow. It's a tough one, right? It's a deep one. And yeah. It changes.
We're never really going to know.
Yeah. Like, even when you just said that it's the three different frequencies, I was looking back at that Tesla quote and I'm like, oh, okay, which one's energy? Which one's frequency? Which one's vibration? Because you could probably map it out that way too. But yeah, no, it's definitely a personal thing. And that's why I was like, dude, take your time and you don't even have to answer it. I heard Jordan Peterson last night. Who is he talking to? If anybody's listening and you're offended by Jordan Peterson, don't be. What was he talking about? Oh, my God. Do you know who Tom Bilyeu is? Impact Theory.
Sounds familiar. I don't know if I've fully seen much.
He's got like a podcast, glasses guy, blue background. Anyway, he was talking to him, right? And so Tom Bilyeu is like, if you have habits, motivation, inspiration, that's your guy, right? And he's really, really smart. And then Jordan Peterson, I don't know if you're familiar, but he's just really smart as well. And he's mythology, God, Christianity, and he's trying to take the psychology out of it. And this poor dude, man, he tortured himself thinking about the problems of humanity. And like, now he's like, I don't know, he's a martyr because of it. Like, not even a martyr. But anyway, my thing was that those two guys were talking yesterday. I watched this episode. And I love Impact Theory with Tom Bilyeu for a long time. I like Jordan Peterson and what he has to say. And I'm like, how come he doesn't go on that show? And then he was just there last week. I was like, wow, this is perfect. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we aren't ever going to know. Like, this is my opinion. But the biggest thing that I do see is that there is this separation. There is this division between spirituality and God. And so however you want to go about uniting those two, but I really believe we need to stop the judgment is the biggest thing and start, you know, asking these bigger questions. Like, what if there is a God, right? What if God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are real? How does that pertain to my life? And how can I merge the two? And like, really, what are you missing out on if you don't look, like, if you believe it, you're not missing out on much. It by combining all these things. But, you know, if you don't want to look at it because of your own stories, because of your own trauma, if anything, that's the biggest thing, because you need to heal that trauma for your own sake, no matter what.
And God will help you do that.
And God will help you do that.
That's awesome. So I ask everybody this question. This is the Phase 4 podcast, and Phase 4 in the six-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating your future 3 years from today. So where is Ella Dawn 3 years from today?
3 years from today. Well, 3 years from today, I'm still going to be grounded here in the Kootenays, BC, because I have two beautiful children. But I'm really excited to start hosting some retreats worldwide. I really look forward to be able to going to some different energy centers and like tapping into God at these like vortexes around the world and, you know, tapping into our power as a group and as a collective and really just like transforming this energy globally.
Beautiful. I love that. So energy centers, vortexes, chakras.
Yeah.
Do you include that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We need to look at those chakras. Like, they're such a huge part of it.
Okay. And then something earlier you said, something about a new earth, almost people are waking out the consciousness collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you think, well, I do think that COVID had a huge part in like boosting that, where a bunch of people just woke up one time. And
yeah.
And then so that I would love you to speak about that part. And then The New Earth is a book. I don't know the exact full name, by Eckhart Tolle. But have you read that? Or
I have read it a long time ago. But I have. Yeah, I believe people are starting to realize like the government is like not serving us. And to put it nicely. And we have so much more power than this one individual in power. So why are we listening?
Are we talking Canada or collective world, US? Which are we talking about?
I'm based in Canada, but you know, I see what's going on. I see what's going on, right? And I don't, you know, like I said, I have no judgment. I, you know, wish all the best for everyone. And no matter your beliefs, I like to just stand on the fence and just be like, have you thought about love? Like, you know, these people, this group is hating this group. This group is hating this group, but we're all still the same spirit. Like, let's just look at love. Like, and that's the biggest thing is I think people are starting to realize this, that we are being forced into so much hate. And I think that's one of the biggest things that COVID brought up was witnessing this, you know, it was like freaking Animal Farm all over again, if you want, you know, a kind of thing. The Lord of Flies, like, just these two separate groups, and they're hating each other all because of the government told us to. And like, why are we doing that to ourselves? Like, that's not cool. That's not how we're gonna like grow as a human. Like, do you really want to be walking in that? And so I think that division caused people to be like, okay, this isn't serving us anymore. We need a new way of doing things. And you know, I'm all for that. But it starts with us looking at ourselves. Like, so often we can get inundated by all the problems in the world and we're like, oh, I could never do anything. But you can change yourself, right? You can change the stories you're telling yourself. You can change your habits. You can change how you treat someone else. And then as you go from there, the way you're treating someone else might inspire them to change how they treat someone else. And that ripple effect is really what we're going for here, of just walking in love together and like not listening to these stories anymore.
Yeah, that's powerful. I see it. I'm sure you've seen it too, right? Like, I saw lifelong friends that were no longer friends because one person wanted to wear a mask and the other didn't. Yeah. And like you said, like, nobody, they didn't ask for that either side. And now what? It's so messed up.
And yet just because of this like bomb drop, you know, from the government, this just happened. People just are reacting like this. And so also, why are we reacting so strongly? Because of the stories we've told ourselves, because of how we've been raised. So if we can come from a place of reaction to responding, if we can learn to just observe our thoughts and not be so triggered, that alone will change so much.
Yeah. I think I have a couple more questions, but what about, I'm wondering, okay, I see a lot of bracelets and tattoos. Yeah. And so I'm sure they're all spiritual, right? So is there meanings attached to those?
I love crystals. I believe crystals hold a frequency. I believe they hold a certain energy. They're kind of like a battery, I guess you could say, would be the best way to put it. They're nature's battery. And so by wearing certain crystals of certain frequencies, they can help you, you know, ground your own energy. They can help you feel more regulated. They can give you confidence. And again, bringing it back to the Bible, even in the Bible, it talks about, like, there's the 12 tribes of Israel, and they each had a crystal. When God was instructing how to build his temples, he had very specific instructions for, like, what crystals to use. And why? Because it's a battery. It shifts the energy around you. And so I love using, you know, color therapy and crystals because they're correlated. The best way to understand crystals is through color therapy, through the colors of the chakras, and using those just to help me, you know, protect my energy and stay grounded in the energy that I want.
Love it. When you were talking about that, I was thinking about colors. Is it the same for colors? But I think we got the answer there.
Yeah, it is.
And psychic abilities. So what are the people who thought, like, I'm sure it must have been friends, family, the whole community, and then you leave when you're 13 years old, you have these abilities, which is crazy because you were calling it a cult, and then your psychic ability, you wouldn't be accepted into the cult because of what you thought, which is kind of awesome in a funny roundabout way. But what do those people think now? Do you get to talk to them? Or they, like, I'm sure you obviously healed yourself, but they're a problem.
So a lot of them, a lot of people when I left the cult, like, it was the belief you can't talk to anyone who's left. So, like, my friends I grew up with would just, like, hang up the phone on me. So there was a lot of abandonment issues that I had to resolve and I'm still working on. But I'd say, like, my parents have been the biggest one. My parents used to be super religious and super strict in that. But now my mom has come a very long way. You could say she was my first client. And so she's come a long way and it's amazing. And she actually has lupus and, like, fibromyalgia and that sort of thing. And through using these techniques, she's been able to end healthy eating. And that's her own division that she's branched into, is, like, ancestral diet and all that sort of thing. But through all of that combined, she's been able to really, like, heal her body where she can still have a manageable life. And she's all for it. She loves it. It's great. So it's possible for people to be able to shift their beliefs.
I'm glad to hear that. The reason I'm kind of asking that, I have a friend, Shayla, and she's just coming out with a new book. She was in a cult and she left, and exactly the same thing. Nobody would talk to her. They abandoned her. So I'm glad that you got back to there. She's slowly getting back. Forget the book. It was a book right about this exact subject that she was touching on yesterday, but I digress. So, before we finish off and I ask my final question, I always let the guests kind of take it wherever they want. If it's something to sell, sell it. If you have a message of hope or inspiration, go ahead. Something I didn't touch on, I don't think there's any energy practices left to touch on. Wherever you want to take it, kind of take it in. Let us
see. Yeah, basically just, you know, if this conversation really resonated with any of your guests, I just invite them to reach out to me. To connect with me, I am on Instagram, i.amela.dodd. I'm on Facebook as well. And I do have a YouTube channel as well. I have a YouTube channel, I am Ella Dawn. And there I'm diving into, like, the Bible and sharing different things about it. And if you really want to start, you know, releasing some of those limiting beliefs, you want to start exploring how God is combined with spirituality and just starting to be able to walk in a little less judgment, a little less reactivity, and start responding with love and care for yourself, and then in turn for others, then I'd love to be able to, you know, connect with more of your audience and help them with that, whether it's through the membership or through one-on-one energy healing sessions.
Brilliant. And you did say the name of the Instagram, but where can people reach you is always my final question.
If you're on Instagram, again, it's i.amela.dawn. Facebook is I am Ella Dawn, and then my YouTube is I am Ella Dawn. Pretty much just Google that and you'll find me.
Amazing. Ella, I'm so grateful for your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been such an honor being here. It's been so much fun.